The book of Jonah, chapter number 3. Be honest with you, I struggled a little bit this week moving on because there's so much preaching in the book of Jonah, and really just those final couple of verses in chapter number 2, it's just so much there that we could bring out and preach. But we went ahead and moved on. I believe it's what the Lord have us to do. But Jonah chapter number 3 this morning. And we'll just read a couple verses as we get started. If you're there with me this morning, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right. You glad to be in God's house?
Amen.
All right. Verse number 1 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us while we were yet unlovely. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have once again to be in your house among your people, Lord, singing the songs of Zion and worshiping and praising your name. Lord, thou art worthy. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help me. I pray, God, that you'd cleanse me of my sin. Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. We pray I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but everything that does. Pray above all things, Lord, that the name of Christ would be lifted up in this place. When we're all said and done, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that's due only your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. A college football coach was faced with the possibility that his star player may not be able to start the big game because it seemed that maybe he was academically ineligible. In other words, he did not have the scores, did not have the grades to continue on playing. And so the coach was afraid that maybe he wouldn't be able to play. This was his star player, the main one on the team. And so he goes and he pleads with the math professor not to flunk, not to fail this young man. And so the math professor comes to him. He says, "I tell you what, coach," he says, "this is what I'm going to do." He said, "I'll ask him a question, a math question, in your presence." And he says, "If he gets it right, then I'll pass him." The athlete was called in, and the professor looked at him. He said, "All right, young man," he said, "what is 2 plus 2? The young man, athlete there, looked at him and just pretty quickly replied to him, 4. Well, immediately when he said that, the coach automatically just frantically cried out, "Give him another chance! Give him another chance! Give him another chance!" Now, for those of you that don't get it, he got the answer right. But the fact is, that coach knew what every one of us in this room this morning knows. That as faulty, fallible people, usually we need a second chance. We very seldom get things right the first time. I want to draw your attention back to our passage this morning, and I want to look. You remember the story as we've been going through it. Jonah's rebelled against God, walked away from the Lord. He had a change of heart in chapter number 2. And look with me at verse number 10 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. There he lays upon the dry ground, been in that fish for 3 days. Notice the very next verse. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and here it is, underline it, circle it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible, the second time. The second time. I'm glad this morning that we serve a God of second chances. I'm glad this morning that so many times when we falter, when we fail, when we forget God, God does not leave us, God does not push us aside, but He comes to us again and He gives us another chance. We begin this journey with Jonah series, walking first of all down the road of rebellion with Jonah. We saw him there in chapter number 1 as he walked out from the presence of the Lord in direct disobedience and rebellion against God. And then in chapter number 2 we looked at Jonah's, not only his role of rebellion, but we looked at his rejoicing in his repentance and how he was sacrificing unto God by the end of it all with a voice of thanksgiving. And isn't it good to just get right with God? And doesn't it feel good to be right with the Lord and have that right fellowship? But this morning I want to preach to you on this thought, Jonah's reboot and restart. Jonah's reboot and restart. Have you ever wished that you could just have a do-over? Have you ever had a situation in your life where you wish that you could try again and go at it again and have just one more shot? You know, if you had another chance, you'd be able to get it right. In golf, that's called a mulligan. And the guys I play with, we take a mulligan on the front nine and a mulligan on the back nine. Now, mulligans actually are illegal, but if we didn't have them, our scores would be a lot worse than they already are. And so we take the mulligans. You know what a mulligan is? It's just simply a do-over. And so if you hit the ball in the water, if you hit the ball in the woods, you put another ball down, and you hit the ball again. And you want to know the greatest thing about the mulligans? It's watch this. When you get to the end of the game, and they're adding up the score, and you want the less strokes as possible in golf, they're adding up the score. Can I say something to you this morning? That mulligan is not remembered. That mulligan was never written down. It's not a mark against you. It's never mentioned again. Aren't you glad, friend, that when God gives us that second chance, He don't come back and keep bringing up the past and stewing up that where He gave us that second chance? You usually don't, in real life, we usually don't get many second chances, the truth is. The honest truth is, oftentimes we usually don't get mulligans for the moments that we miss and for the ways that we've messed up. In Jonah chapter number 1, the prophet messed up, and he messed up big time. He had received a call from God to go to Nineveh. God wanted him to go and preach to that city and cry out against it. But instead, as we talked about before, Jonah turned and he actually went the exact opposite and went from the presence of the Lord and in direct rebellion against God and disobedience to the Lord. The result of his rebellion was that Jonah nearly died in a storm and drowned in the sea, surviving only by the miraculous intervention of God as he sends that fish to get Jonah and to capture Jonah. You see, we look at it so many times as, well, that fish swallowed Jonah. Yes, it was chastisement, but thank God it was also mercy. The saving of Jonah's life was a demonstration of God's mercy. Jonah deserved to drown. Jonah deserved to die, but God was merciful to him, and he did not give Jonah what he deserved. You understand that's what mercy is, not getting what you deserve. But then when we come to the third chapter of this story, we find a demonstration not only of God's mercy, but of God's grace, where God gave Jonah what he did not deserve. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. And here in chapter number 3, what we see is God is giving Jonah what he does not deserve, another chance. Another chance. A do-over. A ministry mulligan, if you will. A reboot and a restart. The truth is, not one of us would be here today if it were not for second chances. Not one of us would be here. Not one of us would be where we are with the Lord if God had not looked upon us a second time. We've all fallen. We've all failed. We've all forsaken our duty and our God somewhere along the way. He says, all we like sheep have went astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. And all of us at one time or another have needed a second chance. Thank God this morning that He's given us another chance. A.J. McCarron, now a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, had a spectacular college football career. I really hate the fact that he did, because that's why they beat us every time. You know, he's with Alabama. But he had a spectacular football career in college. Led Alabama to 2 national titles. But it's really amazing that he was able to play sports at all when you read his story. In fact, it's even amazing he's alive. When he was 5 years old, he had a very tragic jet ski accident. And in that accident, it really messed up his skull and the side of his face, as well as one of his eyes. The doctors initially told his mother that he had 2 hours to live. Can you imagine getting that report for your 5-year-old son that he's got 2 hours to live? Can you imagine as a 5-year-old to hear the words that you got 2 hours to live? As it went on and on, it got the prognosis improved a little bit to include brain damage and loss of sight. But somehow, by God's amazing grace and mercy, he pulled through and he improved enough to eventually become a world-class athlete. A.J. McCarron, in his own testimony, says, God gave me a second chance, and I was going to make the most of it. I feel like I have. I don't take life for granted. Can I say to you this morning, our stories might not be as dramatic as that of A.J. McCarron's, and they might not be about physical survival, but the truth of the matter is this morning is all of us have been given second chances by God, and it ought to not be something we take for granted. But I want to tell you this, our second chance, whatever our next chance is, and that thing God wants us to do, it may well be our last chance, and we ought to not squander it or take it for granted. As we begin to look at this passage this morning, I want you to notice several things in it regarding Jonah's reboot and restart. Notice, first of all, Jonah's unbelievable opportunity. Unbelievable opportunity. Look with me again at verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. As I said a moment ago, God did not have to do this. God did not have to give him another chance. He could have sidelined Jonah. Listen, when this happened and Jonah turned and walked from God and went away from the will of God and rebelled against the word of God, listen, the Lord could have sidelined Jonah. The Lord could have said, that's it. That's enough. You're all through. He could have said, I'm moving on. I'm done with you. I'm not going to mess with you anymore. Yet we read, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. What an unbelievable opportunity. You see, it really is unbelievable. Because you see, just like Jonah, there have been many times in our lives when God very well could have said to us, that's it. You're not getting another chance. I'll take my will and go elsewhere. I'm not going to come to you anymore. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. I'm not going to draw you anymore. I'm not going to speak to your heart and try and get you to do something anymore. And yet remarkably and amazingly and thankfully, God gave us a second chance and a third chance and a 100th chance. It's unbelievable to me this morning, friend, that a holy God, that a righteous God, that a sovereign God, that a supreme God would come to us even once. Do you understand this morning that it's just by the grace of God that God came to us even one time calling us? It's nothing but His. God, we don't deserve anything. Every one of us ought to be in a devil's hell, and it's nothing but God's amazing grace and God's abundant mercy that you and I were called the first time, nevertheless the second time. What an opportunity that Jonah had. It's nothing but God's grace that He called us. And how many times has God time and time and time and time again spoke to us, come to us? It's amazing God would even consider us one time, much less come calling a second time. How many here got saved the first time God convicted you? How many here got saved the first time God dealt with you? And yet He's come calling time and time again. Maybe somebody's here this morning. You've never answered a call for salvation. Don't you understand it's God's will this morning you be saved? The Bible says there was a time God winked at sin, but now commandeth every man to repent. You don't have to pray about that. That's God's will. He says to you this morning in Isaiah 1:18, come now, come now, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. Maybe somebody's here, you know you're convicted to be saved. There's never been a time in your life where you truly bowed the knee and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and be your Savior. And you were convicted, and you've been convicted time and time, but instead of you run from the presence of the Lord. I'm amazed at His desire to save and use us. God gives Jonah here an unbelievable opportunity in giving him another chance. I want you to notice what this second chance involved. In the case of Jonah, man, this is good stuff. Number one, this unbelievable opportunity involved, what's this? Hearing a word from God again. The Bible says In chapter number 1, if you turn back there quickly, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for thy wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The whole story, I want you to understand, began with God speaking to Jonah. That's how it began. God was speaking to Jonah. You understand what a wonderful benefit we have that God speaks to us, that God talks to us, that God communicates with us. What a wonderful thing that is. No doubt Jonah took it for granted, just as you and I take it for granted. And listen, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah in chapter number 1. Jonah heard it, he refused it and did not heed it. And instead, he headed down to Joppa, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, watch this. In the rest of the chapters, we hear others talking about God. It's amazing when you start looking at this. Others are talking about God. You see, Jonah confesses God, that he's, you know, that who his God is, the real true God. And even to the mariners, they talk about God. And the mariners worship God, or at least call out to the Lord. But God never says anything himself. In chapter 2, Jonah writes, and he actually recites, as I told you last week, he recites much of the book of Psalms, a whole passage of Psalms and many other scriptures Jonah recites in chapter number 2 as he's crying out to the Lord. But there's no mention of anything else still being said from God to Jonah, though God was obviously still present with him and he was still working with him. For most of the story, it appears that God had gone silent. He had nothing else to say to Jonah. And honestly, that would be understandable, wouldn't it? The honest truth this morning, had God gone silent on Jonah, it would be understandable. Jonah hadn't really listened to him the first time. Why should God come and speak to him the second time? And God certainly would be justified if he never spoke to Jonah again. But remarkably this morning, friend, the Lord speaks his word a second time into the life of this man by the name of Jonah. What a gracious God we serve. A word from God again. Friend, the way you and I have ignored God's word, the way you and I have transgressed God's ways, and the way you and I have time and time and time again walked away from God's will. Listen, God would be 100% justified if he never spoke to you and I again. Can I just say something to you this morning? Sometimes we act like God owes us something. Sometimes we act like we ought to just be able to answer God when we want to answer him, not answer him when we don't want to, and God ought to just be right there, and he ought to continue speaking to us even if we continue to ignore him, and even though we continue to reject him, and even though we continue to disobey him. Can I say this morning? If God never spoke to us again, if the Holy Spirit never tugged on our heart again, if God never slid up beside of us again and we felt his presence, listen, can I say this to you? He would be 100% justified by doing so. He'd still be good and he'd still be God. We walk away and ignore him, but the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Can you imagine this morning, friend, honestly? I've told you before, honestly, there's not many things I fear. There's really not. But one of the things that does scare me to death is to think of the fact that God would not speak to me anymore. To consider the fact, what if God, what if you lose the touch of God on your life and God would not come to you and speak to you and you not get a word from God again? Can you imagine what kind of life of despair that would be? What if in those times when we rebelled against his will, those times when we rebelled against his word, what if in those times when we've rebelled against his way, what if after that God never spoke to us again? What if God quit wooing us? What if God quit knocking on our heart's door? I said to you before, I'm going to say it again because it's so true. The worst thing that could ever happen to you and ever happen to me, as much as we think we want it to happen, is for God to leave us alone. Let us go our own way and he go his way. Every single one of us this morning, I'll thank God for his grace. Listen, can I say this to you? He does not talk to us because we deserve it. He talks to us, praise God, because He desires it and He wants to have fellowship with you and I. And we ought to thank God for His grace. We ought to thank God for His goodness. We ought to thank God for His long suffering toward us. Aren't you glad that He never went silent on us? Word of the Lord came unto Jonah second time. Jonah's unbelievable opportunity to hear a word from God again. Do you realize, watch this, do you realize and recognize the magnitude of the moment right now in your life as you sit here this morning under the sound of the Word of God? Do you understand how big this moment is? Do you understand what an opportunity this is? Do you realize the opportunity you've been given? How many Sundays after Sundays after Sundays that you've went through to church throughout your life and you gave God little or no heed to what you were hearing? How many times in your life has the Word of God been declared to you, directed to you, and delivered to you only to have you walk out and virtually ignore what was being said or virtually do the exact opposite thing as Jonah did? How many times have we done just exactly that? If you think about it, really, it's a remarkable thing that you're here this morning hearing the Word of God again. The opportunity. Can I say to you, there's a whole world of people out there that woke up in the gutter. There's a whole world of people out there that they're not sitting in church this morning. Oh, they ignored God one too many times and didn't heed the warnings. If you think about it, it's a remarkable thing that we hear the Word of God. He comes to us and speaks to us again. Now, we don't know if we'll ever hear it again. We don't have that promise. Who knows if you'll ever have an opportunity to hear what God says in His Word. You might not, I might not, but if we do, friend, it'll only be because of the grace of Almighty God giving us another chance. In this unbelievable opportunity, we see that it involved hearing a word of God again. Notice, secondly, it involved also having a work from God again. Well, Jonah had messed up. Jonah, I mean, as we look at this scene here, as we look at this story, it's not only remarkable that God would communicate with Jonah again, but it's even more remarkable that God would call him to do something again, give him a task again, actually bring him into the ministry again. That's an amazing thing. I mean, if I were God, if you were God, no doubt, listen, and I did decide to speak to this man a second time, I'd have nothing. I'd say something like this. I'll tell you what, buddy, you try and run again and see what happens. Try and run again and see what happens. That's how we'd be, wouldn't it? Oh, but God in His abundant grace and His abundant mercy. When the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, watch this. It was not in the form of a rebuke. But when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, it's in the form of a reenlistment. God was reenlisting him in the ministry, in the battle. Boy, I tell you what, God's so good to us. When I think about the times that you and I have played the prodigal, and just like that prodigal in the Bible, in Luke, in fact, turn to Luke chapter 15 for a moment. Luke chapter 15. Hold your place there in Jonah. Luke chapter 15. But I tell you what, when I think about the times that you and I have played the prodigal, we get out there, away from God. We walk out from the Father's house. We get our lives all messed up and mangled up and get out there in a mess. End up in the pig pen. We finally decide that maybe our Heavenly Father didn't know best. Maybe the Father's house wasn't all that bad. We come to ourselves as this young man did. Look at verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." We come to ourselves and we decide we're going to go back home to the Father just as a slave. Oh, listen, we had a place at the table before. We had, a position in the field before. We had a place in the work of the Father before. But we understand that we're never going to get that back. We just want to go back as a mere servant, a mere slave. That's what this young man said. Listen to what he says, verse number 18. I will arise, go to my father, say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. For thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We'll come back to the Father's house. Just as a mere slave, we had that place before, but we don't expect to get it back. Just being back at the Father's house, we know, would be a great thing. Just being back around the people at his house sounds good. We don't expect that God would use us and allow us to actually be part of anything again. Just if he'll take us back, and if we can get back there at the Father's house and around the people at the Father's house, be a wonderful thing. And it would. We just hope he'll make us hired servants. Just think about that prodigal, how he had it all figured out, what he was going to say. He says, I'll go to my father and tell him I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Boy, he had it all coerced and rehearsed what he was going to say. And he went over and over and over and over. Just going to go and ask his father, Father, can I please just come home? Will you just let me dwell in the Father's house again? And he had coerced over his plea to simply be able to come back as a slave. He arose and came to his father's father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But he had it all planned out. And can I say to you this morning, if the father turned and walked away, he would have been justified. Watch this. If the father said, son, listen, I'm talking about you messed up and you got out there and you've put a slander on our name and you've caused our name to be run through the mud and you went out there and trashed your testimony. You went out there and went against everything I've ever told you and everything I've ever taught you. And listen, if the father said, no, son, he would have been justified. If he never gave the boy, never spoke to the boy again, he'd be justified. But especially if he never gave the boy any work to do again in the field, he'd be justified. If he never brought him in the family business again, he'd certainly be justified. But notice what the father says. Verse 19, he says, I go to my father and say, no more worthy to be called thy son. The father cuts him off. He's not interested in what his son's saying. He's not interested in shaming his son. He's not interested in rebuke, but he's interested in restoration. Father saw him while he was a great way off. You've heard me say before, that tells you he was looking for him. He had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The son says to his father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son, but the father. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I want to tell you something, this ministers to me. The Bible says this man who comes back to his father, been away, been in rebellion, direct rebellion against the father, done everything, wasted his substance on riotous living. He comes to his father. His father does not rebuke him. His father does not ridicule him. His father does not run him through the mud. But the Bible says that he tells his servants, he says, put a robe on his back. You know what that is, friend? That's a picture of the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That's a picture of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'm glad this morning that when we mess up, I thank God for 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. I said all of our unrighteousness. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know how bad I've messed up. I mean, I've messed up royally. Listen, it does not matter. I'm glad all means all, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. put a robe of righteousness. Then notice what he says. Puts a ring on his finger. You know what that is? That's a ring of relationship. You got the robe of righteousness. You got the ring of relationship. You know what that is? That restored fellowship. Oh, the Lord, listen, the Father there, as the man comes back, he puts a ring on his finger identifying his son with the family. The Bible says that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Amen? He's not ashamed to call us brethren. But then notice this. Verse number 22, and shoes on his feet. Now watch this. I talked about he gave him a word again. The word spoke to him again. And I said he gave him a work again. You know what those shoes are? That's preparation for work, friend. Those are shoes of responsibility. It means that the Father has brought him back in the business again. It means that the Father gave him a place in the field again. It means that the Father not only forgave him, not only restored him, but he put him to work again. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father that we can mess up and we can do? I'm glad this morning that failure is not final and it's not fatal, but thank God he'll come to us again, wooing us again, calling us again, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God comes again. I tell you what, I'm glad for the times I messed up. The times I've went on my own way. The times that no doubt you've went on your own way. When I finally figured out his way was the best way, he gives us another chance. I want you to think about Jonah again. In chapter 2, verse number 10, the verse just before our text, Jonah's just been spit out by the fish. He had been inside for 3 days. There lays Jonah on the shore. His body, I told you before, his body's bleached by the acid inside that whale. I told you about that man, several men that have been swallowed by whales, and some of them lived to tell about it, and how when they were spit out, that acid inside that whale had bleached their body white. There lays Jonah. He's just been spit out by that whale, and he lays there on the shore, skin burnt from the acid, his body riddled with the effects of sin. As he lay there, he thinks, what can I ever do for God in this condition? How can God ever use me looking like this and in this situation that I'm in? I'm through. It's all over. I'm useless to God. Yes, God has spared my life, but I could never do anything in the work of God again. But unbelievably, the very next verse, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And God not only had something else to say to Jonah, but God had something else to give to Jonah. There are people in this room this morning, you've allowed the devil use your past against you. You've allowed your past to keep you from letting God use you. He's forgiven you, but you never forgiven yourself. He's gotten past it, but you've never gotten past it. You feel like you're so far from God and in such bad condition that God couldn't use you. Can I remind you this morning about a woman at a well? Had multiple husbands. I mean, lived a life. Now she's shacking up with a man. Yet Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. You know what he did? He went out of his way to give her a second chance. He used her in a great way. Many were saved by her testimony, the Bible tells us. Think about another man by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah got tired of preaching to those unrepentant people. He said, I'm done with these people. I'm tired of preaching to them, tell them the same thing, and they don't listen. God, I think they're actually getting worse, and it's not helping. I'm sick. I'm done. He quit the ministry. Said, I said to myself, I'll not mention his word anymore or speak of his name. I want you to hold your place here and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 13. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verse number 3. The Bible says, Jeremiah speaking, "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time." I'm glad we serve a God of second chances. So he did. He got a new call to ministry. Man by the name of Peter. Well, Peter really messed up, didn't he? I mean, can you imagine? Think about what Peter did. He's warming his hands by the devil's fire. He's denied the Lord Jesus Christ not one time. He not only denied Christ two times, but Peter denied Christ three times. The Bible says the Lord looked at him, turned and looked at him. He went out and wept bitterly. Yet God gave him a second chance. You remember he comes to Peter. "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Not only did he give him a second chance, you understand, Peter is the one who stood and preached at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved. This man that we're looking at by the name of Jonah, God called him to go to Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed and rebelled against God, but the Bible says Jonah came to a place in his life where he was ready to repent and ready to turn back to God. In chapter number 2 and verse number 1 and 2, we see that Jonah cries out to God. Jonah chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what it says here. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Jonah cries out to God. I'm glad this morning that no matter where we've been or what we've done, we can call out to the God, cry out to the God of second chances, and he'll hear the cry of a repentant heart. Jonah had failed God. He was disobedient to his word, disobedient to his will, disobedient to God's calling on his life. In fact, he turned and walked away from the presence of the Lord. And he come to a place in his life where it seemed like it was hell on earth. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I. And Jonah was at a place that was the lowest point in his life. And despite the fact that Jonah brought it on himself, he cried out and the Lord heard him. God allowed Jonah to lead the greatest revival that's ever been recorded, I believe, throughout the Word of God. David testified, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I got a call some time ago from a young man who I'd had the privilege of ministering to for several years in a youth ministry years ago, and he called me, and he's sobbing, he's crying almost uncontrollably, and he said, "Pastor," said, "I've messed up." Said, "I've really messed up and I've ruined my testimony. It seems that I can't even talk to God and God's not talking to me. It seems that God has went silent on me. I'm so far away from God," is what he kept saying. I took him to Jonah. And I'm so glad I could tell him that God is the God of second chances. I'm glad I could take the Word of God and show him that failure is not final and it's not fatal. I said to him, I said, "You cry out to God with a repentant heart. God will hear your prayer." Listen, maybe you've messed up this morning. I don't know what area it is. Maybe that you've turned and ran from God. Maybe it's a matter of sin. Maybe it's not a matter of sin. Maybe it's just a matter of disobedience for your life. Maybe it's things that you're involved in you ought not be involved in. Thank God that he gives us those second chances to get it right. Maybe there's a former alcoholic here. Can I say to you, God can still use you. Maybe there's a former drug addict here. I want to say, God can still use you. Maybe there's somebody that was once entangled in pornography, but now they're over it. God can still use you. Maybe there's a husband or wife here that need reconciliation in your marriage. Listen, God can take your marriage and make it what it ought to be. And this morning, maybe He's given you a second chance to turn it over to Him. Do it God's way. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Well, if you're not building your home on the principles of God, it's not going to work. This morning, whatever it is, you got another chance to get it right. Maybe there's some child that's messed up with their parents. They don't act the way they ought to act and do the things they ought to do. Maybe they've got hidden secrets, things that they think nobody knows about. God knows. It's a second chance to get it right. Though Jonah had messed up, thank God he didn't give up on him. The Lord was willing to use, again, this man who had refused to go before. I wonder this morning what you would do if God gave you another chance. Most of the people in here, when I said, you ever want another chance for? Yeah, you could tell. But I wonder this morning what you would truly do if God gave you another chance. Can I just say to you, the reason that you're here is a testimony that God's giving you another chance. Whatever it is, I only got through the first one. I got two more. We're going to stop. What is it that you would do different? Because that's what God wants to hear. That's what God wants to see. I'm going to close with this. On New Year's Day, 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. These are timely, by the way, illustrations. They played Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. In that game, a man by the name of Roy Riggles recovered a fumble for California. Now watch this. He recovered a fumble for his team, California. But some way he got confused and he began running the opposite direction for 65 yards. Just before he scored, his own teammate tackled him and brought him to the ground. When California attempted to punt, because you know now we're back to, we got to punt the ball, Georgia Tech blocked the kick and scored a safety, which was the difference in the game so far. That put them 2 points ahead. The strange play came in the first half, and everyone who was watching the game was asking the same question. What will Coach Nibbs Price do with Roy Riggles in the second half? The men filed off the field, went to the dressing room. They sat down on the benches and on the floors, everybody except Roy Riggles, who sat over in the corner, put a blanket around his shoulders, put his face in his hands, and cried like a baby. If you've played football, you know that a coach usually has a whole lot to say during halftime. I mean, they're telling you what to do, what not to do, what to change. But that day, Coach Price was quiet. No doubt he was trying to figure out what to do and what to say and what to do with this young man that had messed up. Then the timekeeper came back in and announced that there were 3 minutes before they were to continue playing and start the second half. Coach Price looked at the team and he simply said this, "Men, the same team that started and played the first half will start the second." The players got up and started out, all but Roy Riggles. He wouldn't budge. The coach called to him again and looked at him again and said, "Listen," said Roy, "said, didn't you hear me? I said the same team that played the first half will start the second." Then Riggles looked up with tears streaming down his cheeks, and in his tears, he said, "Coach," he said, "I can't do it to save my life. I've ruined you. I've embarrassed this team. I've ruined the University of California, and I've ruined myself. I couldn't face that crowd in this stadium again to save my life." The coach reached out and put his hand on Roy's shoulder, and he said to him, "Roy, get up and go on back. The game is only half over." And Roy Riggles went back, and if you talk to those Georgia Tech men, they'll tell you they've never seen a man play football the way he did that second half. Can I say to you this morning, it's not over yet. The game's only half over. You know how I know? Because God's given you a second chance, whatever it is. And when God gives us a second chance, we ought to not squander it. We ought to not waste it. I don't know what it is this morning for your life that God has told you time and time and time again to do or not to do. I don't know what it is that you keep, maybe what besetting sin that you keep allowing yourself to fall back in and fall back in and fall back in. But God's saying, today you can come and give it to me and I'll take it and you can leave without it. Whatever that disobedience, whatever that, you see, it's so easy for us to harden our heart and sear our conscience. I'm going to tell you what a dangerous thing it is for us to continue to say no to God, continue to say no to God time and time again. Finally, our conscience gets seared to where the point we can walk out the door, shake the preacher's hand, smile at him, say good message, and it never impact our heart. And I'm saying to you this morning, God's given you a second chance. Don't waste it. This could be the day of new beginnings for somebody here this morning. You look back on it, all the great things that the people who got right with God did, as I told you earlier, with Jonah, Jeremiah, Peter. God wants to do something with your life. But you can't squander your second chance. Let's stand for prayer this morning.